Kovach Bay. This is BeelPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from near Alt-Moabit, off the S-Bahn in Berlin, Germany. Today is Thursday, the 4th of May, 2017. On this date in 1493, Pope Alexander VI issued a decree dividing lands of the New World between Portugal and Spain. The line of demarcation, as it was called, was codified the following year with the Treaty of Tordesillas, signed between Portugal and Spain. 1979, Margaret Thatcher becomes the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom. 1989, Oliver North, a member of the U.S. National Security Council, is convicted of three charges for illegally funneling money to Contra rebel groups in Nicaragua, which were expressly denied funding by the U.S. Congress. The convictions are later embarrassingly overturned by an appeals court. 1990, Latvia declares the restoration of its independence from the Soviet Union, reinstating the Constitution of Latvia of 1922. 1994, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Palestinian Liberation Organization leader Yasser Arafat sign a peace accord that returns Palestinian self-rule to the Gaza Strip and Jericho. 2000, Ken Livingstone becomes the first ever mayor of London, 2 years after a referendum devolves local power to the national government. Today is Audrey Hepburn's birthday. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the form or ask a question, go to debeelpod.com. Or send us an email at debeelpod@gmail.com. Following up on the constitutional reform process, the draft constitution has been submitted to Parliament and is officially under discussion. A 9-member parliamentary commission has been set up to lead public discussions of the draft. The commission includes Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze, Otsneba MP Tamar Chugoshvili, Irma Inashvili from the Patriots Alliance, Sergei Kapanadze of European Georgia, National Movement MP Zulatia Berashvili, independent experts Vasil Goniashvili and Tengiz Sharmanashvili, and from the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International, Georgia, Ekagi Gaudi. The last member of the commission is Tornike Cheishvili. The commission will hold discussions this month in cities across Georgia. After that, parliamentary committees and plenary sessions will continue to review and discuss the draft constitution. Several opposition parties are boycotting the commission, including the National Movement. National Movement leader Roman Gotseridze announced the party will prepare an alternative constitutional reform proposal, of course. The Movement for Liberty Europe and Georgia are participating in the commission, but they want a nationwide referendum on the new constitution. They plan to collect enough signatures to make that happen. Party leader Dato Bakradze called on President Mark Velashvili and other political parties to join the campaign. Parliament Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze verbally sparred with the president this week, accusing him of disrupting the constitutional reform process and accusing him of instigating other political parties to boycott the reform process. He also said, cryptically, that if the president's public opposition campaign continues, the Constitutional Reform Commission will consider doing away with direct election of the president earlier, meaning in 2018. Current draft constitution would do away with direct election in 2023. President shot back, accusing Kobakhidze of writing Otsneba's party interests into the document. Also, because the Constitutional Reform Commission was boycotted by all opposition parties, a draft constitution was approved by only one political party, which is not so ideal in a democratic system. Former Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili announced he's launching a new political party to run for municipal elections this October. The new party will have a centrist ideology and, according to Usupashvili, will focus on developing policies, not insulting other figures, parties, and institutions. He outlined a 3-point offer for society: countering Georgia's current destructive political environment, forging a civic partnership between state and society, and forming a new political force with novel approaches. In his view, Georgia's political problems aren't caused by specific figures or parties, but by a destructive anti-state political culture that results in single-party rule, social division, undue concentration of power, and weak institutions. In short, the system sets everyone up to fail. The new party will focus on building bonds between state and society and countering the false beliefs that liberty and patriotism are incompatible and that European integration can only come at the expense of Orthodox Christianity, and vice versa. In his view, a dramatic transformation of Georgia's political culture is necessary to finally move past the post-Soviet era. He thinks the new political party can make a splash in the municipal elections and win serious seats in the next parliamentary election scheduled for 2020. Sounds like a super exciting winning platform. Following up on the cyanide case, a trial began this week for Archpriest Gheorghe Mamaladze, who was charged earlier this year for attempting to murder Patriarch Ilya's secretary, Shorena Tetrashvili. If convicted of premeditated attempted homicide, he could serve 16 to 20 years in prison. Mamaladze maintains his innocence. Bishop Dimitri, the Metropolitan of Batumi and Lazeti, was separately questioned this week in connection with the case. According to Gheorghe Pantsulaya, the lawyer for Mamaladze, Dimitri was asked about Mamaladze's personal character, not legal details of the case. In travel to and from Georgia, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze was in Berlin meeting with his German counterpart Sigmar Gabriel to formally open what is being called the German-Georgian Year, marking 25 years of diplomatic relations. 130 joint events and projects will take place over the next 18 months. New South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov met with Russian President Vladimir Putin this week in Sochi. They discussed implementation of the Alliance and Integration Treaty signed back in 2015. Putin also pledged to make new investments in infrastructure and economic developments in the region and to simplify procedures for South Ossetians to get Russian passports. Ministry of Foreign Affairs told Civil.de that it has made small progress on agreeing to a non-use of force commitment with Russia. The statement came in response to last month's remarks from Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov that such an agreement is realistic in the near future. The need for a commitment to the non-use of force was written into the August 2008 ceasefire agreement and is one of the key goals of the Geneva International Discussion Format, which includes Georgia, Russia, Abkhazia, and South Ossetia. Georgia already declared unilaterally in 2010 and 13 that it wouldn't use force to resolve either conflict, and non-use of force is written into its association agreement with the European Union. Abkhazia and South Ossetia have also agreed not to use force, but Georgia will not sign formal agreements with either side because that would amount to de facto recognition. Georgia wants an agreement with Russia, which Russia has been resisting, claiming, of course, that it is not party to the conflicts. Ha! It instead has been pushing for Georgia to sign formal agreements with the two breakaway territories. Tbilisi City Court convicted former Chief Prosecutor Zuda Adeshvili and former Interior Minister Vano Medavashvili, both from the National Movement, for abuse of power for illegally forcing two Georgian citizens to hand over the Akuta wine factory to the state under the previous government. The factory, located in Tel Aviv, was transferred to the state from its owners Temuraz Megrelashvili and Nodar Modebadze back in 2004. The court sentenced Adeshvili to 2 years in prison, which was reduced to 1 year and 6 months according to Georgia's amnesty law. Medavashvili was sentenced to 3 years, with the amnesty cutting it down to 2 years and 3 months. Adeshvili is in hiding, kind of, so was sentenced in absentia. Medavashvili is already in prison on separate charges, separate abuse of power charges. Batumi City Court sentenced two people to pretrial detention for their roles in the Batumi unrest on the 12th of March. Mehta Gogoberidze and Irakli Chirkvaya, two of the 21 people arrested in the incident, were charged with organizing group violence against police officers and each could face up to 9 years in prison. Chirkvaya was a member of the National Movement before being booted from the party after the incident. However, the party officials condemned the decision as politically motivated and said they'd defend Chirkvaya's rights in court. The Movement for Liberty European Georgia also accused the authorities of politicizing the matter. Gogoberidze and Chirkvaya both planned to challenge the pretrial detention ruling in the Kutaisi Court of Appeals. Preliminary hearing is scheduled for the 20th of June. A Russian biker gang, the Night Wolves, was planning a rally in Georgia for Victory Day on the 9th of May before being denied entry this week by the Interior Ministry. The Night Wolves are a nationalist group known for supporting the Kremlin and appearing at public events with Russian President Vladimir Putin. They are invited by the Union of Russian Georgian Youth, a pro-Russian organization led by Irakli Kipiani. Some of the Night Wolves came to Georgia in 2015, classed with youth groups affiliated with the National Movement. They won't be coming this year. About 5,000 members of the Night Wolves travel abroad each year for Victory Day, although in 2015 they were refused entry to both Germany and Poland. Some of the group's members have fought alongside Russian soldiers and pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine, and they are subject to U.S. sanctions because of their actions in Ukraine. 30 members of the U.S. Congress from both parties signed a letter to President Trump expressing support for Georgia and for strong strategic partnership between the two countries. The letter was written to coincide with the 25th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Georgia and the U.S., The letter was initiated by Congressman Ted Poe, a Republican from Texas, and Congressman Gerald Conley, a Democrat from Virginia. The two are co-chairs of the Group of Friends of Georgia. The letter calls on the president to launch free trade negotiations with Georgia and increase support for its accession extension to NATO. Misha gave a speech in Toronto over the weekend where he spoke about his accomplishments and failures in Ukraine as well as the lessons learned from them. He started by criticizing Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko for protecting networks of corruption in Odessa, and Poroshenko had failed to reform the country he spends most of his time running his businesses in instead. However, Misha admitted that he himself failed entirely in Odessa. He said he's still optimistic, though, and that Ukraine is more ripe for transformation than Georgia was back in 2003. Ministry of Regional Development and Infrastructure has purchased about 1,000 traffic cameras that will be installed on highways and municipal roads. They'll start by installing 90 cameras on the highway system during the coming weeks. The project is intended to increase observance of traffic laws, thus increasing public safety, although they could start with just having a speed trap in front of the Interior Ministry building on the way to and from the airport at 4 in the morning when everybody speeds by at 140 kilometers an hour. Mayor Narmania addressed the issue of whether he will stand for re-election in the municipal election scheduled for this fall. He said he'll hold consultations and run only if his candidacy is desired by members of the Tbilisi City Council. You heard it here first on TobiaBud.com. Narmania is not going to run. A 4.7 magnitude earthquake hit eastern Georgia on Wednesday with the epicenter at Zemo Hechili near Lagodechi. Fortunately, no one was injured. There doesn't appear to have been any significant property damage. Central Bank raised its benchmark interest rate from 6.75% to 7%. In a statement, the bank said it made the decision because it forecasted that inflation will likely rise above the target rate for 2017. Annual inflation was 5.4% during the month of March and 6.1% during April, according to Geostat. Prices for food and non-alcoholic drinks increased 7.6% year-on-year during April, with double-digit increases for vegetables, sugar, jam, honey, and chocolate, and milk, cheese, and eggs. Fruit prices actually dropped from April 2016 levels, however. Prices for transport also increased 17.6% from the same point a year ago. Partnership Fund announced a deal with Lapota Investment Limited to renovate the Lapota Resort in Cajete. The Partnership Fund will put up an undisclosed sum of money to increase and improve the resort's capacity, including building 85 new hotel rooms, an administrative building, a 300-seat conference hall, a chateau, a restaurant, a cafe bar, fitness club, and closed and outdoor swimming pools. The renovated resort is scheduled to open by the end of 2018. The tourism sector is a key priority for the Partnership Fund. Previously put up part of the funds to build the Rixos Borjomi Hotel in Likani. DLA Piper team officially moved over to Dentons this week. Dentons Tbilisi retains the same legal staff as DLA Piper, with Otar Kipshidze working as a managing partner and head of the litigation dispute resolution practice. The corporate practice is led by Avtos Fanidze. Dentons is the world's largest law firm, which I thought was DLA Piper, but I guess not now that Georgia switched over. Ukraine's Dart Airlines resumed services and will fly its Kiev-Tbilisi route each Monday, Friday, and Sunday until the 27th of August when the summer travel season ends. The route was stalled while Dart was waiting for permission from Civil Aviation Agency to operate the route. Company entered the Georgian market for the first time last year. Cajete Traditional Winemaking plans to put honey on the market later this year under the brand Nena. The company will purchase honey from local producers and process and package it for the retail market. However, the company plans to launch its own production in the near future. This weekend, six Georgian wine companies are exhibiting their products at the Wine Days Festival in Vilnius. Roughly 4,000 wine enthusiasts are expected to visit the festival over Friday and Saturday. A Georgian restaurant called Batani Khingali recently opened in Amsterdam, the first of its kind in the city. The restaurant is owned by musician Levan Tsakadze and is located in Buchan Plain Square. It features a full Georgian menu. Ballerina Nino Ananiashvili received Japan's prestigious Order of the Rising Sun and Golden Rays from the Japanese Emperor. She was honored for prompting cultural exchange between the two countries and helping develop ballet in Japan. Kutaisi celebrated Gviriloba on the 2nd of May, the city's annual festival dedicated to its vibrant history and culture. People came from all over Western Georgia to attend the two-day festival, which featured outdoor concerts with traditional music and dancing, flea markets, and other cultural events. Gviriloba comes from the Georgian word for chamomile, which in the 19th century, Kutaisi schoolgirls famously sold to raise money for charity. Parliamentary news: the opening of the plenary session on Wednesday was delayed because not enough MPs were present. Eventually enough showed up and the session began. There was some drama when opposition MPs ripped the draft constitution submitted by the Constitutional Reform Committee. Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze accused MPs of lying about the proposed electoral system and said instead of lying about it, they should focus on making improvements to the political system. He was wrong. They were right. The meme this week is a photo by Tatuli Chubabria of the students and workers who marched together in Tbilisi for the 1st of May. The festivities were especially big this year as students and workers' movements have recently picked up steam. Stuff to read. Maxim Edwards writes for Intersection about the delicate politics surrounding unification between South Ossetia and the Russian Federation. New South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov has promised to schedule a referendum as soon as possible and said he's 100% sure that South Ossetia will become a part of Russia in the future. He certainly has the domestic support necessary to make a referendum a reality, but he might face pushback from Russia, which doesn't want the international backlash that would come from a formal annexation. Take the example of former President Leonid Tiblov. He was not the Kremlin's favorite candidate, in part because he vocally supported unification. Over time, he moderated his position under the Kremlin's tutelage. The same thing could happen with Bibilov. Bibilov met with Vladimir Putin this week in Sochi. Their relationship appears to be getting off to a good start. Freedom House publishes its Press Freedom 2017 report. Georgia remains in the partly free category, but its rating declined for the third consecutive year. It ranked 102nd in the world with an aggregate score of 50, putting it in the middle of the spectrum between free and not free. Of the other post-Soviet countries, the Baltic countries all made it into the free category. Moldova and Ukraine joined Georgia as partly free, and everyone else fell into the not free category. Worldwide, press freedom fell to its lowest level in 13 years. Lincoln Mitchell is interviewed for Accent.ge about the draft constitution. Even as a former consultant for Otsneba and someone who has generally been somewhat supportive of the party, he finds nothing positive about the proposed amendments. He's especially bothered by the proposed changes to the procedures for electing parliamentarians, which would ban blocs and automatically distribute unallocated seats to the party that receives the most votes. This will make it very difficult for smaller parties to enter parliament and could result in single-party rule. In Mitchell's words, the idea of giving votes of parties that do not cross the threshold to the winner has no political or legal justification and is patently undemocratic and is a terrible idea. He is right. Gyorgy Lomsadze, writing for NPR, profiles 19th century princess Barbare Georgiadze, who is credited as Georgia's first feminist, the daughter of Prince David Erestavi. She was married off at age 12, and despite her child marriage and gender disadvantage, she gained recognition as a poet, playwright, and essayist. She called for respect and equality for women in the 1893 essay, A Few Words to the Attention of Young Men. However, these days she's more famous for her iconic cookbook, Georgian Cuisine and Tried Housekeeping. Published 150 years ago, some of the more elaborate dishes have been forgotten, but many remain part of the national cuisine, and several restaurants around Tbilisi try to stay true to her old-school recipes, including Barbarestan and Litera. Svante Cornell of Johns Hopkins University writes about the South Caucasus for the American interest. He calls on the U.S. to re-enter the region and regain leverage over the other interested powers, Russia, Turkey, and Iran. While South Caucasus is small, its geography make it politically, economically, and militarily significant. The U.S. government would be making a mistake by ignoring its potential. Joe Larson, who also writes this podcast, has a piece in The Diplomat about the role Georgia's Black Sea coast plays in China's Belt and Road project. The Anakliya Black Sea Deepwater Port project is scheduled to open in 2020. will finally give the country a fully operational deepwater port. In its first phase, the new port will be able to handle 50% more cargo per year than what currently goes through Poti. The rail system needs to improve in order for Georgia to get the most out of that, but the potential is there. Also, a Chinese company called CEFC, China Energy Company Limited, is in negotiation with the government to buy the free industrial zone in Poti, where they're planning significant investment. New York Times reviews Hamlet, a version, a play by Georgian-born Moscow famous writer Boris Akunin. It's a slimmed-down retelling of the classic Shakespearean play. A lot less time is devoted to Hamlet's internal dialogue and a lot more to the political intrigue surrounding the murder of his father. Last week, we shared a profile of Akunin written by the Daily Beast by Tbilisi-based journalist Will Cathcart. Check it out if you haven't already. Akunin is Russia's most popular fiction writer, notable critic of the Putin regime. I myself was the executive producer of that play. Anyone in New York, go see it. Anyone who knows anyone in New York, tell them to go see it. Georgian Journal interviews Hollywood actress Sharon Stone, who reflects on her visit to Georgia in 2011 for the premiere of 5 Days of War, a film depicting the 2008 August War. For her, the experience still resonates, and we got a recording out of her when she was having lunch with Gia Baramidze that I will put at the end of the broadcast. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 11,700, the number of Georgian citizens who traveled visa-free to the Schengen area during the first month since visa liberalization was granted on the 28th of March. Kolga Tbilisi Photo Festival starts on Friday. The week-long event features exhibition of classic photographs from artists from all over the world. There are 15 exhibitions total taking place at the former Hippodrome Park, Artaria Gallery in the National Archives of Georgia. A number of Georgian photographers will be featured, including Nata Sopromadze. The popular travel magazine Atlas Obscura is putting on a guided tour of Rustaveli Avenue on the 6th of May. The tour starts in Pushkin Park near Freedom Square and ends near the monument to Shota Rustaveli. The cost is $10 per person. You can order tickets at Atlas Obscura, that's ATLASOBSCURA.com. Backstage 76 at Vaque Park is putting on a French election party on the 7th of May. This Sunday starts at 7 p.m., which is roughly when the results will start to come in. The Tbilisi Whiskey Festival is this Saturday and Sunday at Tbilisi Expo Hall 3. Visitors will be able to taste a number of whiskeys. The tickets are 30 lari each, available at tkt.ge or at Alcorium and Whiskey House stores. Synodoc Tbilisi 2017 is taking place from the 11th to the 16th of May. The International Documentary Film Festival showcases films from around the world, including Georgia and other countries in the Caucasus. Movies will screen at locations around Tbilisi. The schedule hasn't been published yet, but once it is, we'll let you know. Georgian Wine Club is putting on a wine festival at Tatsminda Park on the 13th of May, Saturday. The guests will be able to enjoy wines from small and large producers located all over the country. The work of 6 Georgian artists will be featured at the New York Art Expo 2017, the city's largest art exhibition. They're being promoted by Mada Art, an American agency that promotes Georgian art in the U.S. The artists are Tatia Kobreshvili, Tiko Bakhtadze, Nana Gagoshvili, Ekaterina Merabashvili, Sira Akhobadze, and Lasha Beraya. The exhibition takes place from the 28th of May to the 3rd of June at Jadeite Galleries. World Rugby Under-20 Championship 2017 will take place in Tbilisi and Kutaisi from the 31st of May to the 18th of June, with the final match taking place at Michal Meschi Stadium. The contestants are England, Ireland, Argentina, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Wales, Scotland, France, Georgia, Italy, and Samoa. It's the second appearance for the junior Lelos, who qualified for the Under-20 Championships last year. Tbilisi Open Air Music Festival is next month from the 16th to the 18th of June. Tickets are available at tkt.ge. There's a huge number of groups performing from Georgia, Europe, and North America. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at txtbuk. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2012, from Seattle, Washington, this is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, and thrift shop feet.
Hi, this is Sharon Stone in Georgia, thanking you all for listening.
Some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a cover. This is fucking awesome.
Now, walk into the club like, what up? I got a big pack. I'm just pumped. I bought some shit from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so damn frosty. The people like,
damn, that's a cold ass honky.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine. Dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes. Those are green drapes and a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly sheets. But shit, it was 99 cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in. Bummy and grungy fucking men. I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain, bitch. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game, hell no. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. So sneakerheads would be like,
ah, he got the Velcro.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Ow.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
What she know about rocking a wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her skirt tip. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that motherfucker. The built-in onesie with the socks on that motherfucker. I hit the party and they stop in that motherfucker. They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant bitch. I call that getting swindled and pimped. I call that getting tricked by business. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't. Peep gang, come take a look through my telescope. Tryna get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't. Man, you hella won't.
Goodwill.
Poppin'
tags.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is fucking awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible.
Come on, man.
I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Is that your grandma's coat?